go ahead and pray for our time together. Lord, we are thankful that you have placed us in this world to be salt and light. You've placed folks around us who do not know you, but Lord, this morning we have you in front of us. We have your word open in front of us. I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts, convict us where necessary, illuminate your words to our souls. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going through the Beatitudes at this point. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we covered the Beatitudes, and I think I have a slide of those. Is my clicker plugged in, Josh? Or am I just leave it dead? That thingy works. Is there a thing plugged in, perhaps on the right side? Oh, that's what I know. I bragged this. It's plugged into my computer, which doesn't help us right now. Actually, could somebody, Dave, would you mind running off to my computer? There's a little thing, it's going to hang out about a quarter of an inch, a USB. Thank you, appreciate it. Okay, I appreciate that. Perfect. So last week we talked about the Beatitudes, where Jesus said, well, blessed are these folks. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, those, as we talked about last Sunday night, fantastic discussion. Blessed are those that we don't put things up there in front of God. Blessed are those where God holds that important part in their life. Blessed are those who mourn. Man, when we mourn our sin, when we mourn the tough stuff, because God is there to comfort us. Blessed are the weak, the gentle in this world, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, even those when you're reviled and persecuted because of Christ's sake. These are countercultural. These are counterintuitive. But Jesus says this is where it really starts. This is where it really things really matter. And we can't do anything else from the Sermon on the Mount or really anything else effectively for Christ if our heart isn't there. And another way to rephrase is it's this humbleness of heart. It's this humbleness, this brokenness that, all right, Lord, you're more important than all these. My flesh, my desires don't matter as much as you, Lord. And so that's going to be important as he's going to, now we're talking about the salt of the earth, the light of the world. This could become important. So let me read what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown down and trampled under people's feet. So that's pretty tense. He says, Jesus refers to his disciples. Remember, he's talking to primarily the disciples sitting in front of him, but also these other folks. He said, you are the salt of the earth. That's what you're created to be. You're created to be the salt. Awesome question. And I'm just looking for just super basic answer. It's going to be so basic. I know you're going to overthink it, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What's the purpose of salt? Enhances flavor. What else? What's the purpose of salt? You're thinking too hard, Scott. You say her preserve. What else? Making steak good. I love making steak good. We're going to have to take a time out. Trey, what you got? Melting ice. Did anybody else grow up in cold climates? Yeah, so you, in your town, you have that huge, huge, about five times of this sanctuary, just the piles of salt getting ready to throw on the, yeah, it melts ice. What else, what's the purpose of salt? You haven't gotten it yet. Randy? Makes you thirsty. Absolutely, not what I'm looking for. You guys, you're overthinking. I'll just give you my answer. The purpose of salt is to do something with it. And you all have hit it, but you haven't hit it. The purpose of salt is to do, it's not just to, you don't go to Walmart and spend 99 cents or 89 cents on this to be a nice ornament. Wow, look at you. Good job, Brian. You got some salt at Walmart. I'm so proud of you. Look, it really accentuates the fine china that your grandmother has and the pictures of your children and everything else. Way to go, man. No, the purpose of salt is to do something with. And you guys listed, you know, half a dozen great things. Melt the ice, enhance flavor, preserve. The main thing is to do something with. So, hey, you all are the salt of the earth, so you all have a purpose. The purpose is to do something. to this earth. And not just necessarily to this earth, but to the world. In this context here, as Jesus is talking, it's mainly the preservative. It's a preservative to make sure that the meat doesn't spoil. And so, I've talked with somebody and I'm not a good Southern boy because I'm from Massachusetts, so I loved corned beef. Anybody else like corned beef? Yeah, corned beef is wonderful, it's delicious, it's fantastic. New York, you gotta love corned beef, right, Gail? And pastrami, and I'm getting off track here. We're gonna have to go to lunch here pretty soon. But, so corned beef, you put the spices in together with the salt, and you have the special preserving salt that goes in there, and you mix it all together, and then you put it in the plastic bag, and then you let it sit for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. Let it sit, let it preserve. Let that salt get all the way through so it infiltrates the entire nice brisket there. It's okay if it just gets to, no, it's not okay if it just, it's not just putting salt on the top, it's to infuse all the way down throughout that piece of meat. That's the purpose of that preserving salt, to get all the way down through there, especially Jesus' age here. The salt is supposed to go all the way down through that fish, through the lamb, through the whatever. So it's preserved. They don't have refrigeration. Electricity hasn't been harnessed for another 19 decades. No, centuries. It's been a long, they don't have, so the salt is this preserving agent to make sure things don't spoil. So Jesus is saying, hey, you disciples, your purpose in life is for in this earth to make sure that people don't spoil. And why do people spoil? Sin, there we go. Yeah, that wasn't a very complicated answer, but sin, our sin nature. And so he said, hey, you are supposed to go in there and not just perhaps, well, here's a little bit of Jesus. We'll just kind of sprinkle that on the top there. Hopefully you've kind of brushed shoulders with me in line at Home Depot. I didn't punch you in the face because you deserved it. But it's being able to penetrate deeply in there. There's that time aspect that David was talking about, that time with folks. It's the gospel's able to go down deeply. But he sees here, but if salt has lost its taste, does anybody else have their Bible out? Does anybody else have any different translations to, but if salt has lost its taste? Anybody else have anything else? If not, that's fine. Lost its flavor. I'm sorry? Salt. Lost its saltiness. And those are all great words. That's actually not what the original Greek word is. The original Greek word, it's irrelevant, whatever it is, but it means to make foolish. But if the salt has been made foolish, how shall its saltiness be restored? So it's just that's a really weird thing, isn't it? Is making salt foolish. This is how it's translated. And we look at Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 1. We know this verse we talked about in Sunday school. Claiming to be wise, they became what? They became fools. They saw what was clear about God, they ignored. So people, they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Likewise, 1 Corinthians 1, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Same word. So if the salt has been made foolish, well, how would it be made foolish? Well, it's lost its taste. It's no longer salty. But the biggest thing here is it's been compromised. The salt here has been compromised with other materials, other things, so the salt is no longer good. The chemical compound, it's still going to be sodium chloride, it's still going to be sodium titrate, phosphate, whatever. It's still going to be salt at its core, and you're not changing that chemical compound, but it's been compromised. It's been dirty. Most salt came from the Dead Sea and contained carnallite or gypsum. If carelessly processed, it would become insipid or poor tasting. Common problem in the ancient world of salt being mixed with various impure substances and therefore becoming worthless as a preservative. Not that it wouldn't preserve the meat, but who wants nasty tasting meat? It's, okay, fine, this brisket taste is preserved, it's not going to kill me, but this is awful. I don't want this. I want that scrumptious, delicious sardines. there's some people who probably say it, but you want that fish that's been preserved and it hasn't been compromised by these outside tastes. So if the salt has been compromised, it's been made foolish because it's no longer achieving its purpose. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. This is why Jesus started with the Beatitudes. Hey, you all are salt of the earth, but if these things going on here, if this isn't what's going on, you might have, well, at this point, they're not indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Christ is not living in them. They're not in that current age, that current dispensation. But hey, if you're proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, but there's not this humbleness, the poorness in spirit, the mourning, the gentleness, hunger and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, man, you're going to get incredibly, you might get the gospel, but it's going to be so tainted. Nobody's going to want that. Does anybody want the delicious steak that's been thrown on the floor and it's been now stepped on and it's nasty? That's why there's health standards at restaurants. You don't expect to go to Po' Folks and your fried chicken's been sitting on the floor for a while. No, I don't want that tainted meat. But you're not going to be, your saltiness is not going to be effective. Nobody's going to want this, even if you can preserve. It doesn't prevent the gospel from being able to do, the gospel still saves people. But you all aren't going to be effective. The relationships David talked about. No longer good for anything to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Just thrown on the trails here to, well, at least it'll prevent the weeds from going up, so when people walk on the trails, there's something, but you'll be trampled over by everybody. One thing, so you are the salt of the earth. So remember, the purpose of salt is to do something with it. This salt is useless when it stays in its canister. It might be waiting for something, but if I don't use the salt, it doesn't help. Doesn't matter how clean, how pure, how whatever it is. The salt has to be taken to the meat to impact the meat. The salt of the world, you and I as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be out in the world to impact the world. And that's tough, especially as we walk with Jesus further and further and more years of our life. Our inner circle naturally becomes more followers of Jesus Christ, does it not? And it's not anything malicious we're doing to the world, but just naturally, that's what happens. When I was first a follower, when I first became a follower of Christ, I had most of my friends were unsaved. And then when you know, working and most of my folks, but then you start making stronger relationships with people in the church and just naturally, not that you're trying to pull away from the world, but that's just what happens. And then we can take that to extreme is we're going to try to protect ourselves from that big, mean, nasty, scary world. I don't want that meat to hurt my salt. Well, Jesus says, no, your salt is supposed to go to the world, to the earth. Yes, watch out for the things that are contaminated around there. Be careful as you process, which is why you come back to the church, why you come back to the Word, come back to God to make sure that you're staying clean. We're designed to be there out in the world. The church is not called to be, we'll use another analogy, we're not called to be a freezer for the Christians. A freezer will preserve food, right? The freezer will stop any rotting or decaying process. It'll help more or less preserve right there. But the problem with the freezer is it just stays in the freezer. It has no impact until you cook it up. Taking food that's already processed, prepared, etc. Remember, we've already been preserved by the blood of Christ. If we stay inside the walls of the church or are not actively involved in impacting the community with the evangelistic message of Jesus Christ, we fail at our purpose in the world. To do for Christ. And eventually, what happens to meat that's been sitting there for a year or two or three? It gets nasty. It's freezer burnt. It's even useless for you. You saved up because you wanted to eat that nice steak, the chicken, whatever, but it's gone bad in the freezer. So when we stay inside these walls and we can become incestual and just focusing on ourselves, and we forget how to impact and relate with the world. We forget how to have an impact. Rather, instead, the church isn't a freezer to just preserve the body of Christ. We're the processing plant. Let's go ahead and clean, make sure our salt isn't getting contaminated with the world. And let's go back out there and do it again. And yeah, you're going to get some junk being out there in the world. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get angry. You're going to get this or that. You're going to have, but come back to church, come back to Christ. Remember, in God's economy, there's no other means of preservation. Just as God has no other plan of reaching the world with his message than through you and through me. So we're meant to impact deeply. Remember too, so we're the salt of the earth. We're also the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus continues to address the disciples. Hey, you all are the light of the world. But Jesus was also the light of the world, wasn't he? So Jesus says, I am the light of the world, John 8:12. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For in Jesus we have that light. We are called to be light in this world. What else about Jesus? It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. What else we got here? The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world, talking about Jesus. Finally, Jesus says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain as darkness. So the purpose of light is to impact the darkness. Pure light, it doesn't matter how dark the darkness is. The darkness doesn't come and impact the light. In fact, physicists are still trying to figure out, well, what is light? Well, it kind of acts like waves. It also kind of acts like, what's the other thing? Should have looked it up. Particles. So it's got wave-like attributes. It's got particle-like attributes. It kind of goes around corners a little. Light's weird. But the darkness never comes in and starts putting out the light. In fact, the light works the opposite way. So just a reminder that as we're out there in the world, this is our purpose. And so the darkness cannot fully overcome and corrupt us. We are saved by grace. We are preserved by God's grace. Every analogy has its limitations. Yet we can become corrupted as we fail to be humble in the Lord. We can allow those beatitudes to not be a part of us. Hey, disciples, you're the light of the world. This is their role. This is their purpose. They would naturally radiate and shine and point others to Jesus. Remember Moses when he came back down from the mountain? What was he doing that one time? I'm sorry? He was talking to God. Was there a point when he was kind of shining a little bit? The people were noticing. And Moses had no idea, but he was shining. He had this radiance. He had this glow. It says, likewise, a city on the hill cannot be hidden. Where are the cities on this map? All over. Where all over? Where would be a city and where would a city not be? Everywhere. Yeah, well, there's light. Those little. I didn't have to label any of these. We know people are there. Just like, remember, the city on the hill, you can't hide it because there's going to be lights coming out of all the houses and everything. You can try to make steps, and we know in Europe they have their darkness shades that way when, you know, aerial bombing raids, try to let the fighters know that they're, believe that there's not people there. But, hey man, this light, you know people's there. You can't hide that from space. You know where the cities are. A city on a hill cannot be hidden from far away from lights. There's no way to hide it. The very nature is that a city naturally manifests itself with all the lights. The more lights, the more people. The more you and I humbly submit ourselves to Jesus, the more he shines. That poverty in spirit, the mourning, the sin, the meekness, the weakness. The more we hunger and thirst for righteousness, the more merciful as Jesus is merciful. The purity in our hearts, the peacemaking. The more we're reviled and persecuted for Jesus' name, the more we shine brightly because Jesus has manifested more in our lives. He says, well, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. You don't turn on a light to hide it. That would be silly. And kind of like, you know, how many people that you either get frustrated or you've had your parents get frustrated at you for leaving a light on in a room that nobody's in? Ever been there? You get angry or you get angry at because you're leaving the light on? Yeah, well, what's the point? You don't turn on a light for it not to be used, so you don't turn on a lamp and then hide it under a basket, underneath a box, underneath a whatever. The purpose of the light is to illuminate. God does not illuminate your life for you to conceal it, for it to not impact others, to not impact the darkness of this world. To cover a lit lamp would be to make the lamp foolish. To cover our lives and not to impact the world would be to make our lives foolish. God would say, what a waste. What a waste. We were created as the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, or God's people to be light in this world. We should be radiating out like this. People know, wait, those are the Christians. There's God's right. I want to go there. What's going on there? How cool is it to be in a big city at nighttime? To be in New York City or one of those, you got all the bright lights, all that fun stuff. It's exciting. It's a little weird, but it's exciting to be in Times Square in the middle of the night. In fact, the city on a hill, it's in a prominent position to maximize the light to be created to illuminate. The lamp that you place on a stand is in maximum position. If I get the ushers to call down the blinds here, and if I get the AV folks, can you guys just cut every single light in this room? No spotlights on me, no nothing in this room. We're just cutting off, no spotlights on me whatsoever. We're just going to shut off all the lights in here. We'll see how. I guess I got bright lights there. Let's go ahead and turn. Can we turn off the? Or can you just hit the blackout buttons for us? I guess it's not the middle of the night, but it's kind of. Oh, we did our best we could. I mean, can you kind of see the light I have behind the pulpit, or not really? There's a little bit of light back here. My light, as your pastor, does no good if I keep it up behind the pulpit. It's supposed to be put out in front for all to see. It kind of helps to illuminate a little bit more. But remember, it's kind of silly if I put it out here. If I just cover it up with this bucket. Ooh, it's kind of... We got Halloween coming up here, so I guess it's appropriate. So there's a little bit of light. Why don't you go ahead and take out your cell phones? Turn on your cell phones. Turn on so we can just see the lights. I'm giving you permission to go ahead and open up your phones. But you know, kind of a little bit of light. Not your flashlight yet. Fill your head of me. You're too smart. You knew where I was going with it. And so if we turn on our lights, some of us have more bright than others. Yeah, if we do this, it becomes a little bit brighter. We can kind of see where people are. And then yeah. So if you have the flashlight features, go ahead and all right now turn on your flashlight feature. We can kind of. We can see more going on here. Kind of reminiscent of about a year or so ago when we got to use flashlights for a week or two or three or four, however lucky you were or were not. Yeah, we're created to have our lights shine. We're created, and with the lights, we can see better. We know all this about light. All right, you can turn off your lights or keep it on. I don't care much. It's whatever you all want to do. I'll let you play with your phones. If you can go ahead and unmute the... We'll continue on with the message. So just like this, we're to allow our lights to shine before others. Allow others to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His gentleness. So what you're going to need to do is probably exit out of the slideshow view and then just hit from current slide. I don't know why it does that, but that's just one of the shortcomings. But we're almost done with our message. It says, let them see the good works. So this isn't just, hey, make sure that they hear the gospel from you. This is, let them see the good works. Let them get to know you. Let them see those beatitudes coming out. If you're already doing it humbly, then you're, so that they can glorify God. This isn't about your personal glory. So you say, wow, what a great Christian Brian is. I'm glad he's a pastor because, you know, he's behaving so well. I'm glad Phil, I'm glad David, I'm glad Rachel's, you know, they're Christians because look at how well they're behaving. Well, the purpose says here in our verse, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. The purpose is to glorify God. Others see this through the Spirit, as I said, for God's glory. So we're just going to go ahead and close out with this idea. We were created for a purpose. We were created in this world to impact this world. Whether it be salt as a preserving agent to really impact deeply, not just, we're not here, I'm not here to change people's behaviors. We're not here to make the unsaved world act more Christian, act more with Judeo-Christian values. We're here as salt to penetrate deeply into the person and let the Holy Spirit work and do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Yes, we bring to light to things in their life. Well, you know, hey, the Holy Spirit seems to be talking to me. You seem to be falling short here, whatever the case may be. But it's not about behavior modification. That's just sprinkling some salt on your steak when it's done. It's about seeping deep into the community. Hey, unsaved person, stop doing whatever sin that we're angry about. No, that's not how it works. Deeply impact this community. We're here to be the salt. We're here to be the light in this world. So let's go ahead and I'm going to show a little table here. How are we doing as this Heritage Bible Church? How are we doing? And the numbers are only just that. They're just numbers. But how do we line up here? We're going to look at 2013 to 2019. How are we doing? And each of these people, it's not just numbers, but each person represents a soul. So that first column, POF, that means professions of faith. So as a church, how many folks are we impacting the community with professions of faith each year? So we see 6 and 13, 4 and 13, 3 and 15, 2, 16, 3, 17, 18, 19, El Zilcho. And these numbers might be off. There might be folks that perhaps in your evangelistic outreach, but we were unaware of. Our impact seems to be going down. What about baptism? So when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, that's one of the things that God asks you to do. One of the only two ordinances: baptism and the Lord's Supper. So once again, so if we're reaching people, how many people are getting baptized, following in obedience? So we got 4, 3, and then a bunch of zeros after that. In the final column, which I debated whether or not to include, because it doesn't really say our impact, because you can grow and you can just steal sheep. Let me just say for record, I'm not interested in stealing sheep from other churches. You know, it's great if somebody wants to move in from out of town and, you know, they find home here or one of the other 800 churches in this county, where the Lord places you. But our purpose is to be impacting this world, reaching people with the gospel, and then discipling. So they're becoming baptized. We're discipling. We're raising them up. We're doing a poor job, Heritage Bible Church family. And so when I point fingers, Val, what does it mean when I point a finger at somebody? I got three pointing right back at me. And these numbers break my heart because, you know, I see in 18 and 19, those zeros. Okay, yeah, that's us, but I see three quarters. I see that's me. That's me. That's Brian failing to do his job. And to God's glory, man, we got, I don't know, 15 or so, I probably should count. So that's 15 souls that are now saved because of this church. That's a fantastic thing, things we should be praising, but our impact should be increasing. And to Pastor Hazard's glory, not his glory, but to his credit, these are his numbers, I believe. There might be one or two from, you know, Phil's outreach at the mall or other things. But that's Pastor Hazard being obedient to the Lord, having an impact on this community. It would seem that our salt is staying in the shaker. It would seem that, for the most part, our light is being hidden. We can kind of tell it's there, but it's not having the full impact that it ought to have. And that should break our hearts. That way, Lord, I'm falling short. But fortunately, God is a gracious, loving God. He could have, all right, 18, that was a zero. Let's go ahead and shut this church down. Let's bring in a hurricane. That did happen. Let's bring in a hurricane. Let's completely decimate. Let's make these guys, they're done. No, well, fortunately, we're able to stay. We're able to hopefully have impact in the future. I believe God has a wonderful future. And it starts with here, with our mindset of how do we reach the folks outside of these walls? Who's in our impact? Who am I working with that I can reach? Who is in my community? Who's in my whatever that we're going to reach? John, I'm going to put you on call. I'd love for you to share one of these Sundays. You share with me a fun little story the other week. I would have asked you, but never mind. We'll get with it later. But John Gaylor, a new setting, most of you all know about. So. All right, Lord, who have you put around for us to reach? Remember, Jesus says here, when we don't line up with our purpose, he says that the salt is thrown away, useless for his kingdom, just to be trampled on. Revelation 2:4. Remember, Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking to seven churches. Some are doing better than others. But to the first one, he says, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. I think, unfortunately, right now we're not on a healthy trajectory. We're on a trajectory of, I believe, Jesus removing the lampstand, which is why I think we're seeing attendance drop. We're just not having the impact that we ought to have. But that's something easy enough to change as we focus our hearts. Lord, make those appointments for us. I've heard a smart man say that once or twice or 5 million times before. Lord, help me to want to impact people. Help me to see them as you see them. So we're going to have a little bit of time of prayer here, more of a time of repentant prayer. And these kneelers are up here if you want to avail yourselves to them. If not, you don't have to. Just, Lord, perhaps, Lord, forgive me. I haven't been looking for those opportunities. I've been shying away. Also, time of, Lord, use me. Open those doors for me. Give me the courage, the boldness to do that. And I do have a deeper note, a final plug for tonight. We can't effectively be the salt of the earth if the salt has not penetrated us deeply. If the salt hasn't gone reached deeply inside of us, God's love, his power, yearning and thirsting for him. If we don't have that within us, we don't have anything to offer anybody else. So I'd encourage you once again to join us tonight as with the pursuit of God, searching that deeper life with God. And with that, let's go to a time of repentance and prayer, and I'll close this out in a couple of minutes. Lord, we know that it's your desire that none should perish, that all should have eternal life. Lord, we can clearly see from your scripture that it is our purpose to have an impact on this world without being corrupted. Lord, that's a tightrope. Lord, give us that time with folks to impact their lives deeply. Lord, give us the words, the courage, the boldness. Help us to want to do this. Lord, give us the deeper life within us so we can have something to share with others. Lord, forgive us for how we've fallen short. But Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, pick us up and use us mightily. Send us out into this community to impact for your great name. Encourage us. Help us to see ourselves as loved and forgiven by you. Equip us and send us out in your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.